Welcome to episode 213 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This show was recorded the week of May the 12th, 2014. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. This week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by Jensen USA, where you'll find a fantastic selection of complete bikes, components, accessories, apparel, nutrition, and more, all at phenomenal prices with unparalleled customer service. When you need anything for cycling, simply go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast. And by Fazari Performance Bicycles, where they design and build high-performance road and mountain bikes using the most advanced design techniques, materials, and components. And they sell it all manufacturer direct for huge savings and provide you with a custom fit to ensure comfort, performance, and satisfaction. Go to Fazari.com, that's F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I.com, to learn more. And now also by Lynda.com, that's LYNDA.com/Fredcast. Lynda.com will help anyone learn software, creative, and business skills to achieve personal and professional goals with their incredible library of classes and tutorials on a wide variety of subjects. Get a 7-day free trial simply by going to Lynda.com/Fredcast. Now, sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder because here comes the Fredcast. Hey, fellow Freds, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. Glad to be back here with you. Glad to have you here with me. Hey, we got a lot to do today, lots of news and several product reviews. But first, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our longtime, loyal, and devoted sponsor, Jensen USA, at jensenusa.com/thefredcast. Now, before I tell you about their great selection and their prices and their customer service, I got a special deal going on right now. Now, in order to access this deal, you've got to go to the show notes. I've got three links in there that you must click if you'd like to take advantage of this deal. Here's how it works. For a limited time, if you purchase a select full bike, complete bike, or a frame from Jensen USA, from Intense, Niner, or Yeti, you will receive a $250 Jensen USA money card. And that's good toward the purchase of anything in the future when you buy from Jensen USA, simply by clicking one of these links and picking up a great Intense, Niner, or Yeti complete bike or custom frame. I've got additional details in the show notes, plus the links. This is a limited time offer. And if you're looking for a new bike, now is the time to do it, to get that $250 Jensen USA money card. Go check it out. And by the way, coming up real soon, their Memorial Day sale. So look for that as well. Simply go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast. But before you do, go to the show notes for this week's show, show number 213, so that you can click the appropriate link and take advantage of this great offer. Our thanks to Jensen USA for their support of the Fredcast, and our thanks to you for your support of Jensen USA. Topping the news on this week's episode of the Fredcast, sad news out of the state of Maryland, where we hear that Representative, former Congressional Representative James Oberstar, who was a Democrat representing the state of Minnesota, passed away a short time ago at the age of 79 years old. Now, normally we don't talk about the passing of political figures here in the United States on the Fredcast, but James Oberstar is special. James Oberstar has been hailed as one of cycling's biggest friends and advocates in the United States Congress, where he served representing his district in Minnesota from 1974 until 2010, which, by the way, is a record in the state of Minnesota. Mr. Oberstar holds the record for having been the longest serving member of Congress from that state ever. Now, I had the opportunity to meet Representative Oberstar at the National Bike Summit in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. Heard him speak, spoke with him extremely briefly, but his passion for cycling advocacy, for ensuring better safety and better infrastructure for cyclists on the roads here in the United States was absolutely clear. He was very passionate about this. Now, speaking of the National Bike Summit, Andy Clark, the president of the League of American Bicyclists, in a statement on the Bike League's website said, quote, "Jim Oberstar has been a friend, advisor, and mentor to the entire bicycling community for a quarter century, and he will be sorely missed by us all." Indeed, that is very true. Following up was a statement by People for Bikes President Tim Blumenthal, who was quoted as saying, quote, "He directed more investment and more good policy, pro-bike policy, our way than anyone else who has served in government. We're talking about billions of dollars and thousands of projects of all kinds." So at this juncture, I think it behooves all of us here in the United States who have seen improvements over the last decades and are looking forward to more improvements to give a tip of the helmet to James Oberstar, wish him tailwinds, and send our thoughts and our prayers out to his family. Hey, here's some good news for those of you who are bicycle commuters or thinking about becoming a bicycle commuter, or frankly, just good for our nation and for the environment all at the same time. The United States Census Bureau recently released some new information about bicycle commuting. Very interesting news. It turns out that the number of people who use bicycles for commuting back and forth to work or school went up about 60% over the past decade. But interestingly, while bicycle commuting went up, pedestrian commuting, walking to work, has remained about the same. So what that means is these are people who used to commute by car or by bus or perhaps even by train, who have now decided to get out and get on a bicycle. That's great news. Here's how it breaks down. During the time period from 2008 to 2012, according to the Census Bureau, about 786,000 Americans commuted by bicycle, and that compares to about 488,000 in 2000, a jump of almost 300,000 people. And that is the largest percentage increase of all modes of commuting tracked by the year 2000 census. Disappointingly, however, cyclists only make up about 1% of all the commuters in the United States. The folks over at Bicycle Retailer had a look at the study to see what they could learn from it, and they came up with a couple of very interesting bullet points. First of all, according to Brain, the Western United States had the highest rate of bicycle commuting at about 1.1% of all commuters. Meanwhile, the South had the lowest percentage at 0.3%. Not surprisingly, among all large cities in the United States, can you guess which one had the highest percentage of bicycle commuting? No, sorry, Manhattan, it's not you. It's, of course, Portlandia, Portland, Oregon, with a bicycle commuting rate of about 6.1%. Among the groups who had the highest percentage of bicycle commuters, men, those with graduate or professional degrees, and interestingly, 1.5% of those with an income of $10,000 or less commuted to work by bike. That's the highest rate of bike commuting by any income category. So great news overall for bike commuting throughout the United States. Unfortunately, with the death of James Oberstar, we're going to need somebody to step into those shoes. Earl Blumenauer, can you hear me talking to you? So that we can ensure that we have the infrastructure and the laws and the protection that we need as we are out there on our bikes commuting back and forth from home to work. And speaking of more bikes out on the roads here in the United States, here's some more good news following up on a story that I did on last episode of the Fredcast. Remember, I told you about some AAA chapters here in the United States, the Automobile Club of America, offering now roadside assistance for bicycles. Well, more AAA chapters, it seems like every day throughout the United States, are now starting to add 24-hour roadside assistance for bicycles as well. Once again, the new program will allow AAA members to request assistance if they're riding their bike and the bike is disabled and they need transportation to a nearby destination. Now remember, as I told you last time, for those AAA chapters that are offering this, this doesn't mean that they're going to come out and fix your tire or fix your chain, whatever the issue is. No, they'll pick you up and your bike and they'll take you. It's almost like a tow. They'll take you to the destination of your choice. Now the service is free for all membership levels in the AAA, and it does not require any additional sign-up or any kind of opt-in. You simply automatically get the roadside assistance for you and your bike. And for most chapters, it looks like what they're giving you is 2 free bicycle assistance calls per year. Not bad, right? So a couple of the chapters that have just added this include the New Jersey chapter and the Southern New England chapter. Great news for those of you in those areas. But I've also put a link in the show notes to a specific website that you can go to see whether or not this is being offered in your area for your specific AAA chapter. So check the show notes, click that link, and you know, it sure seems like this is something that more and more chapters are doing. My guess is within the next year or two, or perhaps even sooner, all AAA chapters here in the United States will be offering this. It's fantastic. I hope I never need it, but it's nice to know that it is there just in case I do. Well, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know by now that I am a huge proponent of bicycle share systems, and I use them wherever I can. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Fredcast and I are headed out for, I can't believe it, our 25th wedding anniversary vacation in a couple of days. We're going to Spain. Okay, and attention, burglars. People will be home, and that's not a joke, plus 2 big dogs, so don't even think about it. But anyway, and there's bicycle share. Like, we're going to Sevilla, and there will be bicycle share, and we're using it. I've already got the app on my phone that tells me where all the bike share stations are, which ones have bikes, etc., which ones are empty. I'm a little bummed. Barcelona does have a bike share system, but it's only legal to be used by Barcelona residents. The local bicycle touring companies got upset when Barcelona said that they wanted to have a bike share system, and in order to protect their business, they've restricted the bike share in that city to residents only. Kind of dumb in my opinion, but on the other hand, you know, it's nice to see bike tour companies continue to thrive. Anyway, but that's not, none of that is what this story is about. What this story is about is the fact that, congratulations, Seattle, as many of you know, you are getting a bike share system this fall. Fantastic. It's the Pronto Bicycle Share System. They're going to be green bikes. Very cool. Congratulations, you're going to have them in the fall of this year. But what's really great is that the Pronto Bike Share System just got a shot in the arm in the form of a title sponsorship of the system by Alaska Airlines, providing a $2.5 million cash infusion to the system. It will put the Alaska Airlines logo and name on the bikes and put $2.5 million into the coffers, in addition to the grants and sponsorships and the $1 million they're getting from the United States government and the $750,000 they're getting from the Washington State Department of Transportation and the $500,000 from Seattle Children's Hospital. You add it all up, and it's great news for the citizens and visitors of Seattle. Pronto Bike Share is coming very soon, and you too can ride an Alaska Airlines green bike coming this fall. When interviewed about this, Brad Tilden, the CEO of Alaska Airlines, said, quote, Pronto bicycles will give folks who live here and those who are visiting from somewhere else wheels when they want them. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray said, quote, the question came up in the campaign, what would it be like to have a mayor with connections to business? One of the fun things I've gotten to do in the last few months is to call businesses and ask them to get in on Puget Sound bike share, unquote. And that is exactly how the Alaska Airlines deal came about. Congratulations, Seattle. I'm looking forward to coming up there to visit you. Visit bikehugger.com, their world headquarters, and go out for a ride on Alaska Airlines Pronto Cycle. Now, one thing about hosting a show like the Fredcast, I get a ton of press releases and product releases in my email box and in my post office box as well. And, you know, frankly, the majority of them never actually make it on the show. They're just, they're either not up the alley of the Fredcast listener, they're of no interest to the Fredcast host, or they're products that have been completely overhyped, or, you know, they're just pure marketing pablum, and it just wouldn't be interesting to you. However, one came across my email inbox the other day that I wanted to share with you. It's from my friends at Ciclismo Classico. Now, I call them my friends because I've gone on a tour with them, but there is no, absolutely no a compensation that goes along with my mentioning this to you. I just think it's really cool, and I thought it was something that I wanted to share on the show. Now, for those of you who may be familiar with Ciclismo, maybe you heard my report from the Dolomites a couple of years ago, or maybe you heard my interviews with them leading up to my tour in the Dolomites and my participation in the Maratona di las Dolomites, the amazing Grand Fondo in northern Italy. But if you know anything about Ciclismo, and of course from the name you can tell, it's got a real European flair. Ciclismo Classico puts together very high-end cycling tours, primarily in Europe, primarily in Italy, but they've branched out to other parts of Europe, and indeed they've partnered with other companies to provide tours in other parts of the world. But here's the cool thing and what I wanted to mention to you now. Ciclismo Classico is now introducing a U.S.-based tour. So maybe you didn't want to go over to Europe. Maybe you didn't want to spend the money on the airfare or go quite that far. You now have the opportunity to enjoy everything about a Ciclismo Classico tour right here in the United States. The tour is called the Classic Rides of the Colorado Rockies, and it's being led by a couple of Colorado natives who have also been putting on Ciclismo tours, leading Ciclismo tours in Italy for 14 years. It's going to take you into the high country of Colorado, right into the Rockies. You'll have the opportunity to enjoy all the food and drinks that come along with the Ciclismo tour, ride through the Rockies, ride through national parks, go to the Indian hot springs, oh yeah, and view two stages of the USA Pro Cycling Challenge. And you get a VIP pass to stage one in Aspen. This almost sounds like an ad. I swear, it is not. I just think it's really cool, and I'm really kind of high on the idea. Sorry, no pun intended. I did put a link in the show notes. That was mostly from their press release. A lot of it simply from the fact that I'm very enthusiastic about the fact that they're doing this. Because for many of you, you told me when I was doing my European tours, it wasn't something you really wanted to do, and you were looking for that high-level Fred-style tour here in the United States. There it is. The Classic Rides of the Colorado Rockies from Ciclismo Classico. Check it out. If you do, again, no compensation for me, but do me a favor. Just let them know you heard about it on the Fredcast. They like to know that kind of stuff when they hear from you. So I hope this works out for them. I hope they branch out into other parts of the United States. If so, I'm looking forward to going on another Ciclismo tour some point in the future. One more press release that came across my desk that I know you're going to be interested in, came from Mavic, the wheel builder of note. If you've ever purchased a set of wheels and had one fail and then had to replace it, you may understand why the Mavic MP3 wheel protection program is so compelling. Several years ago, probably 8 years ago, I bought a set of Xerium SSC SL wheels from Mavic. I had a failure and I got it replaced at like no cost because I had enrolled in their MP3 protection program. Great deal. Normally, that's going to cost you about 8% of the retail cost or about $220 for the wheels that I'm about to tell you about. Now through September 30th, you can buy the MP3 protection program on select Mavic wheels for just $1. It's a great deal. So if you've been thinking about buying Mavic wheels, now's the time because you get this great protection program, which offers you 2 years of product repair or replacement coverage on the following wheels for just $1. The Cosmic CXR80 tubular, the Cosmic CXR60 tubular and clincher, and the Cosmic Carbone or Carbone 40 tubular and clincher. It's a great deal. It's part of Mavic's celebration of their 125th anniversary. Again, if you're thinking about getting a new set of Mavic wheels, now's the time. And if you do, I strongly suggest, as a satisfied customer, again, no gratuity for David here, simply a satisfied customer, I strongly suggest that you get the MP3 program. And since it's just a dollar, why wouldn't you take that extra effort to ensure that you've got that protection? It's a great deal. Take advantage of it. And since we're talking about protection programs and being worried about product failure, I do unfortunately have one product recall to tell you about today. This recall covers 2008 Felt model S22 and S32 triathlon bikes and 2010 Felt S32, B12, B14, and B16 triathlon bikes. There's about 3,300 bicycles listed in this recall in the United States, about 190 of them in Canada. The problem here, again, it's a fork problem. The steerer tube on the front fork could break, thereby causing you to lose control, fall off your bike, and perhaps posing a risk of injury. Felt has actually received 18 reports of forks breaking, including 5 reports of minor injuries. Now, these were sold from bike specialty retail stores nationwide from October 2007 through February 2014 for between $1,500 and $3,000. Again, as always, I've got a link in the show notes where you can get more information from the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website. But if you suspect that you may have one of these, please stop riding it. Contact your dealer or Felt Bicycles directly and get the problem taken care of. Hey, I've got a lot more news to come, but before I get to that, I do want to thank another one of our show sponsors, and that is Fazari Performance Bicycles at Fazari, F as in Frank, E-Z-Z-A-R-I.com. Fazari is where you get custom, quality, direct. You get a bike that is perfectly fit for you because they do their special 23-point custom setup so that by the time you get it, they've taken your measurements and set the bike up with the components and the adjustments specific to you. Quality, because Fazari has amazing engineering, design, and manufacturing methods that are, in their words, and I think it's true, in a class all their own. Every Fazari bicycle, road bikes, mountain bikes, are built with performance in mind. And direct, this is the key. Fazari does not use your local bike dealer. No, you buy on the internet, you do the 23-point setup, and they ship the bike directly to you, which means, you know, according to the old phrase, you're cutting out the middleman or person, as it were, which means that you are getting a really well-specced, quality engineered and designed bicycle that's been set up custom for you at a fraction of the price of what you might spend going into your local bike dealer. So that means, for instance, if you thought that you could only afford a 105 bike, you might be able to get an Altegra or a Dura-Ace bike. Or if you just thought you could get manual Dura-Ace, you might find that you can actually afford a DI2 bike when you buy from Fazari. Mrs. Fredcast and I have been riding our Fazaris for about a year now. Very pleased with them. The performance has been great. The durability is great. The design is fantastic. And I got to tell you, we love riding those Fazaris. Waiting for the new 2015s to come out so we can give those a try. But in the meantime, I strongly encourage you to go to Fazari.com. That's F as in Frank, E-Z-Z-A-R-I.com, and check it out. If you do, if you talk to them, let them know you heard about it here on the Fredcast. And if you buy, absolutely, let them know that you heard about Fazari right here on the Fredcast. We thank Fazari for their support of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and I thank you, because I know many of you have, thank you for supporting Fazari. Well, let's talk a little bit about professional racing. A lot going on in the world of professional racing with 2 major international races going on right now. In the UCI World Tour, we have the Giro d'Italia going on in Italy, Meanwhile, here in the United States, well, it's not on the world tour. It is a UCI event, and it is of international note. The Amgen Tour of California is rolling through the Golden State. And talk about golden. The weather has been phenomenal. By moving the Tour of California to May, even though it conflicts with the Giro d'Italia, the weather improvements are noticeable. Well, before we get to some of the info on the world of professional racing, let's look at the current UCI World Tour rankings as of May the 4th, 2014. Alberto Contador is sitting atop the standings in first place, followed in second by Simon Gerrans. Alejandro Valverde is in third place, followed by Fabian Cancellara, Michael Kwiatkowski, Nicky Terpstra, Sepp van Marke, Peter Sagan, John Degenkolb, and in 10th place, coming up from 29th in the last standings from Team Katusha, it is Simon Spilak. Now, normally at this point, it's when I talk to you about upcoming races in the World Tour, but the Giro d'Italia goes all the way through June the 1st. So that's what's going on as far as upcoming races. However, coming up in June, the traditional sort of practice race, stage race for the Tour de France. It's the Critérium du Dauphiné. It used to be called the Dauphiné du Libéré. It takes place June the 8th through June the 15th, followed by the Tour de Suisse, June the 14th through June the 22nd, and then the second Grand Tour of the year, July the 5th through July the 27th. That's my birthday if you want to get me anything, by the way. That is the Tour de France, July the 5th through July the 27th. Well, without getting into the detail of whose standings are where in both of the races that are going on right now, just a couple of tidbits that I wanted to mention, because a lot of you, I know, by the time you listen to this, the standings will have completely changed. So just a couple of things. First of all, as you may know, the Giro d'Italia this year did not begin in Italy, as happens from time to time. You may recall a couple of years ago, it began in the Netherlands. This year, beginning in the UK, in Ireland. Irish police arrested a man just hours before the city of Dublin was to host a stage of the Giro d'Italia. And the man was arrested for having placed a car bomb in Dublin, not far from the Giro d'Italia stage. The bomb, according to reports, contained 22 kilos of explosives made from fertilizer, and they were found in a vehicle registered in Northern Ireland, leading to speculation that the bomb was set not so much specifically having to do anything with the Giro, but perhaps having to do with some of the Republic sentiment there in Northern Ireland. Now, there was no immediate claim of responsibility, but that was the suspicion that there were dissident Republican groups who were opposed to the peace process in Northern Ireland. Now, speaking of the stages in Ireland, I don't know if you saw this, but it's making the rounds not just of the endemic cycling media, but the general media as well. Marcel Kittel was having a great Giro d'Italia, winning two back-to-back stages in Ireland, including the third stage in Dublin. At the end of the stage, he literally collapsed in exhaustion there on the street when David McCarthy, an up-and-coming junior cyclist, decided, hey, this would be a great opportunity for me to get my picture taken with Mr. Kittel. Went over, Kittel is on the ground, literally just in agony. He's spent from the effort of winning this stage, and here comes this guy with his camera phone to take a selfie. McCarthy has been called every name in the book in social media. He has been called jerky and worse, and you can imagine the response by somebody doing something so insensitive at a moment of both triumph and exhaustion for a professional cyclist. Matter of fact, Cadel Evans said that the photo was more than inconsiderate, which I think is more than an understatement. Well, at some point, the backlash became a little bit too much for McCarthy himself, going out and writing a an apology note that he put out on social media saying, "To Marcel Kittel and all the people I have offended by taking the selfie, I apologize. I did not think the photo would cause such hate words toward me and cause offense." Kittel, for his part, has said that he has accepted the apology, even tweeting out a little joke, trying to make light of the situation, saying, "I guess you learned your lesson. So did I when my grandma found me playing with fireworks next to our barn, full with dry hay." So there you go, folks. Don't do something like this. You know, you think that it's a great idea, but at the end of the day, it really isn't. And then all that happens in this age of social media is you literally get raked over the coals by hundreds of thousands of people. Take this as a lesson. Now, as for the tour of California going on in the West Coast here in the United States, it has been, as I said, a great week so far of racing. The weather has been really fantastic. The action has been great. We've got some real stars riding here on the roads of the United States, and it's great to see. And speaking of seeing, I've gotten some messages from a lot of you saying, "Hey, you know, I don't get the NBC Sports Network on my cable or satellite system. How can I watch?" There's one way and one way only, and it's how I've been watching, and I love it because it's commercial-free, and there's so many metrics available, plus great HD video, and that is via the Tour Tracker. So if you're not familiar with the Tour Tracker, it is I believe at one time, I'm not sure if it still is, it was an Adobe Air application that you could run on virtually any computer platform. But where I use it now, and it still is available on your computer, by the way, but I watch it on my iPad, and the quality is fantastic. And all of the metrics that it provides are really spectacular. And again, it's free. So I put a link in the show notes to where you can find that. Frankly, I prefer it to watching on television, and you might too. So go ahead and check it out. There are still a couple of stages left in this year's Tour of California, and that is a great way to watch, especially when you're at work. You can turn the sound down and just enjoy the action. It's just, as I said, a great way to watch. Check it out. It's called the Tour Tracker. This year has been, I think, a breakthrough year in some ways for women's professional cycling. If you look at the fact that, for instance, Tour of California with their women's stages, the Tour de France on July 27th will have a woman's stage on the Champs-Élysées. And not to be outdone, the Tour of Utah last week announced that they have also added a cycling event for elite and professional women, and that will take place on Wednesday, August the 6th, which will be coinciding with the men's professional stage race here in Utah as well. Now, the Tour of Utah Women's Edition, which is what they're calling it, will be a circuit race at Miller Motorsports Park out in Tooele, Utah, and that's the exact same venue that will serve as the finish for Stage 3 of the Larry H. Miller Tour of Utah. The Women's Elite and Professional race will be featured for the first time in the Tour of Utah's 10-year history. It's going to have a 2.2-mile section of the road course at Miller Motorsports Park for a 15-lap circuit race. According to Alex Kim, race director for the Tour of Utah Women's Edition, quote, "The Tour of Utah is proud to provide the opportunity and showcase the competitiveness of women's cycling with a collection of top professional, national, and composite teams. The inclusion of a circuit race at Miller Motorsports Park will double the excitement for spectators at the finish line with women's and men's events." For my part, I think it's fantastic. Here in Utah, when I do organized rides, I see just a ton of women out on their bikes. There's many women's only rides. Mrs. Fredcast did one last weekend, the Goldilocks ride here, but we've got the Little Red Riding Hood ride, the Swiss Miss ride, all kinds of women's events. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of women cyclists participating in those. So I think it is great for those women cyclists who are also fans to be able to see competitive women's cycling right here in Utah. And it's great to see more and more professional women's cycling events getting the attention that they deserve. So kudos to the Tour of Utah for adding a women's race to this year's event. And closing out the professional racing section of this week's show, something I don't want to dwell on, but I do want to close the loop because it will put an end to a story that we've talked about several times here on the show, as well as on the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. As everyone is aware, Lance Armstrong was handed his lifetime ban by the United States Anti-Doping Agency from professional sport. And the final shoe to drop, if you will, was everyone waiting to find out whether or not his associates, his doctors and managers and coaches would also draw a penalty. Well, the United States Anti-Doping Agency did investigate Johan Bernil and several others. And following that investigation and the charges that were leveled, a three-person panel of the American Arbitration Association has handed down its verdict saying, quote, "The evidence establishes conclusively that Mr. Bernil was at the apex of a conspiracy to commit widespread doping on the United States Postal Service and Discovery Channel teams spanning many years and many riders." Similarly, Dr. Pedro Celaya and Mr. Jose Pepe Marti were part of, or at least allowed themselves to be used, as instruments of that conspiracy, unquote. As a result of that finding, Johan Bernil drew a 10-year ban, and Messrs. Celaya and Marti drew 8-year bans. Now, according to the decision that came down from the panel, they said that they believed that Johan Bernil trafficked in performance-enhancing drugs and that he was, quote, "engaged in the allocation of team-related resources, causing a variety of prohibited doping substances and methods to be used expressly for the purpose of gaining an unfair advantage for the teams and cyclists he managed in cycling events." As far as Johan Bernil and his reaction, he posted information up on his website saying that he kind of wished that there were things that he could take back, or actually, in his words, elements of his career that he had hoped would have been different. He said, quote, "I do not dispute that there are certain elements of my career that I wish had been different, nor do I dispute that doping was a fact of life in the peloton for a considerable period of time. However, a very small minority of us has been used as scapegoats for an entire generation. There is clearly something wrong with the system that allows only six individuals to be punished as retribution for the sins of an era," unquote. And so ends the story of Johan Bernil and Lance Armstrong, or does it? Remember, the UCI is investigating doping. They have an independent panel investigating doping in those infamous years of professional cycling, and whether or not Messrs. Bernil or Armstrong or Celaya or Marti or any of the others decide to cooperate with that panel, and whether or not that results in diminished bans, diminished penalties, we shall see. Well, chalk this next story up to celebrities behaving badly. U.S. actor Alec Baldwin was arrested yesterday, I believe, in New York City as he was cycling the wrong way at the corner of 16th Street and 5th Avenue near Union Square Park in Manhattan. The 30 Rock star was stopped by police at about 10:15 a.m. Because of his wrong way riding, and the police asked him to show identification. Mr. Baldwin, aged 56, refused to show his ID and started acting belligerently toward the cops. As a result, the officers promptly slapped handcuffs on the actor and took him and his bicycle to a nearby police station. He was issued two citations or summons, one for riding a bike in the wrong way down a street and one for disorderly conduct. As a result, he is scheduled to appear in Manhattan criminal court, and that would be for the disorderly conduct citation on July the 24th. Mr. Baldwin, you will recall, or you may recall, was kicked off an airplane several years ago when, at the time, you were not allowed to use your cell phone once the door of the plane had closed until you reached 10,000 feet. And of course, then only in airplane mode. Mr. Baldwin, however, was deep involved in a Words with Friends game on his phone, refusing to turn the phone off repeatedly, and was therefore thrown off the plane. So he's kind of got a history of kind of defying authority. Well, not to be outdone, Mr. Baldwin made sure to go out on Twitter and let everyone know, in his words, quote, "Officer Moreno, badge number, fill in the blank, arrested me and handcuffed me for going the wrong way on Fifth Avenue. Meanwhile, photographers outside my home once again terrified my daughter and nearly hit her with a camera. The police did nothing. New York City is a mismanaged carnival of stupidity that is desperate for revenue and anxious to criminalize behavior once thought benign." I think we'll let Mr. Baldwin get the last word on that one, but I just do have one more thing to say, and that is, hey, Alec, thanks for the show title. And speaking of a carnival of stupidity, I'd like to tell you the story of what may indeed be the dumbest bicycle thief ever. Ben Jackanelli recently opened an electrical bike store in London called Fully Charged. Now, not only is he an electric bicycle retailer, but he is also, of course, an electric bicycle rider. Well, he was out riding his bike in London and thought that he would just be away from his bike for about 20 minutes. And when he returned, his bike was gone, and he figured he would never, ever see the bike again. So he did what any of us would do. He reported the theft to police and figured, that's it, that bike is gone. But then his phone at Fully Charged, his e-bike retailer, started to ring. When he answered it, there was a man on the other end saying that he needed a charger for a Go Cycle. Mr. Jackanelli tells the London Evening Standard the rest of the story, saying, quote, "I'm the authorized dealer for Go Cycle in the area, so the thief called me, unaware that it was my bike. He asked for a charger for a Go Cycle, and I knew straight away it had to be the thief. I took down as many details for him as possible and then set about tracking him down," unquote. And that's exactly what he did. He tracked the guy down, did a little bit of online sleuthing, figured out where he lived, and Mr. Jackanelli and three of his friends went over to his house. Continuing his story in the Standard, quote, "He was out, but his mother was in, and she got straight on the phone to her son to demand to know why he wanted an electric bike charger. A minute later, he called me and asked why I was at his house, and I said, 'You stole my bike.' He hung up, and 20 minutes later, the bike arrived at the Fully Charged warehouse in a taxi," unquote. That is a great story, made even better knowing the fact that police say that they're investigating, and it is hoped that they will soon make an arrest. How's that for a carnival of stupidity, Alec? Well, before we move on to our two product reviews for tonight, I want to let you know that this episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is a place where you can learn what you want, when you want, with thousands of high-quality online video courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. And the really great thing is Lynda.com has a special offer for Fredcast listeners. Simply go to lynda.com/Fredcast. That's LYNDA.com/Fredcast. And you will get to try the whole enchilada, the whole library of training videos and resources for free for 7. Lynda.com is the source for knowledge on the internet. Now think about it. Think about something that you want to learn, and chances are you're going to find it on Lynda.com. Photography, photo editing, digital video production, business and management skills, programming, you name it. And Lynda.com is the place where you will find it. They have more than 2,000 courses, with more being added all the time, and instructors are working professionals who are all at the top of their fields, or they're professional instructors in the field that they're instructing. What you get is high quality video production from state of the art studios. These aren't, as I said last time, YouTube productions, you know, that start out, "Hi guys, today." No, these are real instructional videos that will help you with every step of the way through the process of learning a particular set of knowledge. Curated course content you can watch from the beginning all the way to the end, or you can jump from one subject to another via specific chapters. All that information is included on the website. You just click on it. Oh, and what's really cool is start watching on your iPad or your Android tablet. Go to your computer, pick up right where you left off. And at their $37.50 per month premium plan, not only do you get the unlimited access to the videos, but you also get access to the exact same project files your instructor is working on. So let's say you're learning Photoshop skills. You'll get the before and the after files so that you can go right through every step of the process with your instructor. Again, it's a great resource. I use it all the time. And that's why lynda.com is giving Fredcast listeners that 7-day free trial of the full premium plan so you can see, as I did, that lynda.com is an invaluable resource that you will use again and again and again. That's more than 2,000 courses for free. Just go to lynda.com, lynda.com/Fredcast. Right now, give it a try. I know you're going to like it. Our thanks to lynda.com for their support of the Fredcast, and our thanks to you for your support of lynda.com. Well, next up tonight, I've got a product review of a product that so far I'm really liking and finding to be a really great training tool that I'm hoping I can continue to use again and again. Now, there's a lot of trainers out there on the market, and parenthetically, I realize that for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're coming into summer, but this is a great product that I had to tell you about as soon as I completed my test, close parentheses. The product is called the Be Cool Cycle Sport Trainer. That's B as in boy, K as in kilo, double O, L as in Lima, Be Cool Trainer. Now, this is a Spanish company, so it's relatively new here in the United States. I know many of you are familiar with a lot of the other trainer companies out there, but this is one that, following my test, I think is up and coming and one you are going to be hearing about a lot in the coming weeks, months, indeed, the coming years. So here's the deal. This is a $650 electronic cycle trainer. In the box, you get the trainer, you get a front wheel block, cadence sensor, Ant Plus cadence sensor and magnet, you get a front wheel block, you get a Ant Plus USB stick for your computer or your laptop, plus you get a 2-month premium subscription to the Be Cool website. More on that in a moment. All of that for $650. Now, if this were just a regular wind or magnetic resistance trainer, that would be a lot of money. But let me tell you a little bit about this trainer. It's an electronic trainer with variable resistance, so you plug it into the wall, and it is Ant Plus compatible. The trainer itself is Ant Plus compatible. So think about trainers that you've heard about before, whether they're the Tax Trainer or the CompuTrainer or other very expensive, certainly much more than the $650 suggested retail for the Be Cool. And you'll understand the way that the Be Cool works. You connect it, and I'm putting that in air quotes, you connect it to a computer, and the computer controls the resistance on the trainer based on the profile of the ride that you're doing. Now, all of that for $650 sounds pretty darn good when you consider that's just a minor bump up from a wind or a magnetic or a fluid resistance trainer. But the Be Cool goes so much farther than that, because the Be Cool ends up doing things that the competitive 2 or 3 times the price trainers claim to do, but in some ways does it a lot better. Now, setting up the unit, pretty simple. I'll be honest with you. I was not real pleased with the overall packing of the device in the box, although the Be Cool folks tell me that they're working on and will shortly have a fix for this. But several of the components, specifically the very small USB device for reading and communicating via Ant Plus had fallen out of the little box that it was in, and I thought it was lost, and I had to really dig around after I'd unpacked everything to finally find it. So they say that they're working on that, but I wanted to mention it so that if you get one, you will know, look through the box. The parts are there, just make sure you're looking for them. Overall, the unit itself, now remember, I'm comparing this to a CompuTrainer, which I've been using for some time, and I'm also comparing it to a basic wind trainer that I also own. And overall, the unit itself is much smaller, sleeker, and much easier to set up and connect up with the bike than either the CompuTrainer or any other standalone trainers that I have used before. It's very simple to set up, and I mean, it's literally, it takes seconds. And then one of the things that I kind of dread on other trainers is removing my bike to then go ride outside. I don't dread riding outside. I just dread removing it because I'm going to have to come back in and put it back on the trainer. And it's such a hassle. With the Be Cool, literally, I put the rear wheel onto the trainer, I lift up an arm, I move a lever, and it's connected and I'm ready to go. So I'm really very pleased with that. It's so easy to get the bike into the trainer. One other minor annoyance that I have, there is only one cable from the trainer. That's a good thing. The bad thing is that right now, because this is a Spanish company, and until recently they were really selling the majority of their product overseas in Europe, the plug, the electrical plug that comes with the unit is one of those European plugs with a little round prong, so it won't fit in a North American electrical receptacle. So it ships with kind of a cheap adapter from those little round prongs to the flat prongs that we use here in North America. Once again, Be Cool says that they're going to be doing away with that in future units. So again, it's a minor annoyance. It works perfectly fine. It just was a little strange to me. Another thing, just again, a minor annoyance with the CompuTrainer and other trainers I've used before, they're very heavy and very rigid. When I stand up in the pedals on a quote-unquote climb or just a harder resistance section of something that I'm working on, I'm able to stand up and it's a very realistic feel to the way that the positioning that I would have on the road, and my rear wheel doesn't slip because it's so rigid. Be Cool is a little bit different. It tends to wobble a little bit more. You get used to it, but when you first get on to the Be Cool, if you're used to a beefier, heavier trainer, it's something you'll want to get used to. Plus, if you stand up just as you would on the road, you probably will, as I did, tend to unweight your rear wheel and it will slip on the trainer. So I've learned to change my positioning when I'm standing up in the pedals on the Be Cool. Again, a minor annoyance, something I can certainly live with, but something that you should certainly know about. Now, once you've got your bike connected, the next thing you need to do is you need to set up the software on your computer. Software's free. It's easy to install, although I will tell you that I originally installed mine on an old Windows XP machine, and installation took forever because first it installs the BSim software, which is their simulator software, then it installs C++, then DirectX, then Ant Plus drivers, and then when I thought that was all said and done, it then wanted to install Google Earth. It took a very, very long time on my Windows XP box, and actually when I started using it on that Windows XP box, I found that the Google Earth features and the video features tended to stutter or not even work. So on a whim, knowing that currently Be Cool does not have Mac-compatible software, and as everybody knows, I'm a Mac guy, although the Mac-compatible software is literally right around the corner. But what I did on a whim was I brought my MacBook Air in there, and I decided to try installing it on Windows 7 on my 2011 MacBook Air under Parallels Virtualization. So not Boot Camp, side by side with Mac. The software install was extremely fast. Everything went in very quickly. Everything works great. So I'm running the Be Cool trainer now on my MacBook Air using emulation on Windows 7. It works great. So If you've got a Windows box, just make sure that you double check on the BeCool website for the specs. But I would say, based on my experience, anything maybe probably 3 years old or newer is probably going to work, but just check with BeCool. But it is important for you to understand that there are really two components to the software. So you've got the software that you install on your computer, and that controls the trainer, and that controls the simulation. And so when you're using the trainer, you're using the software on your computer. But in order to get to that point, you need to create your training sessions online using their cloud components. Everybody's used to this these days. So you simply go onto their website, you register, and now you have the opportunity to do one of several different types of rides. So what about using the trainer itself? How does it work, and what differentiates it from the competition? What about this video and Google Earth stuff? So we've talked on the show before about other trainers, and a lot of you have a lot of training DVDs and downloadable videos that you've purchased that you use in conjunction with your indoor trainer. So if you've got a TAX or a CompuTrainer or one of those other simulation style trainers, you are using some sort of software on your PC, and then in a separate window, typically you're watching the video, and hopefully the video and the course profile are syncing up so that when you look on the screen and you're supposed to be climbing, hopefully you're getting that resistance on your trainer. I'm going to be honest, it doesn't always work that well for me, and you've probably experienced the same thing. On the BeCool trainer, however, everything is integrated. So remember I told you that when you first unbox the trainer, it comes with a free 2-month premium subscription to their website. What that means is, think of it like Netflix streaming, or Amazon Instant Video. You literally have a huge library of videos, hundreds of videos that you can choose from, decide how much time or what length ride you want to do, set up that session on the cloud component, and then go right straight back to your simulator, and you are ready to ride that route. Now, you can ride in single rider mode. You can ride against virtual competitors, so you can choose robots, so you say, I want them to be this fast, and they'll pace, and you can try to beat them. Or what's really neat, there's a social component to the site where you save your performances, and then other people can race against that performance. Or in my case, because I'm not one of these Strava junkies, as you know, so I tend to keep my performances private. But what I'll do is I'll go on, and I'll choose a segment, and then I will find 3-4 people who have also done that very same segment, put them in, and then I'm racing against them. It is incredibly motivational. Times when I would be climbing and I might want to stop pedaling to take a break normally, I don't want those guys to catch me. So I am pedaling as hard as I can. I get off this trainer and I am drenched and spent. It's fantastic. Now, if you don't want to race against a virtual competitor, they have multi-rider modes where you can ride in real time with people all around the world and race against them, and they are racing against you in real time. So you've got single rider, multi-rider, multi-rider virtual riders. You've got the videos, and there's hundreds of them, as I said. And if you don't want to watch the video, this is where the Google Earth component comes in. You can watch a Google Earth view, so you're seeing the topography change. You're seeing the roads undulate and curve. It's neat. I've only used it a couple of times. I prefer to use the videos. However, when I was in Southern California a few weeks ago, I brought my bike and I was riding. And of course, my cycle computer has a GPS in it. So I was able to take, in a matter of maybe 2-3 minutes, take the GPS track of one of my rides in Southern California, upload it into the cloud component of the BeCool website, and then ride that very same course in my basement here in Utah on the BeCool trainer. And in that case, I used the Google Earth view. And then every time the road pitched up, I had more resistance. Every time it pitched down, I had less resistance. And I can see all of this on the screen because on the screen I get, in my case, my speed, my cadence, read from my speed and cadence sensor. It's a Garmin sensor that I'm using. I'm not even using the Be Cool sensor. So I'm getting speed, cadence. I'm getting heart rate, again, from my Garmin heart rate strap, Ant Plus. I'm getting my power as read from the trainer. More on that in a moment. And it's also showing me how far I've gone, how much farther I need to go, how long I've been riding, how much more they estimate I will be riding. And it also shows me the current percentage pitch up or down of the road. And there's a progress bar to tell me when it will change and what it will change to. So for instance, let me make that more clear. Let's say I'm on a dead flat road. It will say 0%. And as that progress bar fills up, next to the 0% is a smaller number that will tell me when the progress bar fills up, whether or not it's going to go, whether or not the gradient of the road is going to change. So if right now it's at 0% and it's going to pitch up to 1.8, for instance, when the progress bar fills up, the software beeps and it starts to gradually add that 1.8% resistance until the progress bar fills up again and I get the next value. Very realistic feeling. Now it's a little bit different again than the CompuTrainer. On the CompuTrainer, traditionally I am chasing a power value, a certain power output that I should be performing at. And so typically on the CompuTrainer, I'm not shifting. On this trainer, I can output whatever power I want and whatever speed I want. I've just got to go a particular distance at a particular gradient of road. So if I want to output a little bit more power, I'm going to shift. If a little less, I'm going to shift again. And I'm constantly seeing what my target power is in a little thermometer kind of a scale next to my current power output. As far as power, I compared the power output that the Be Cool is showing versus a power meter that's on my bike, roughly plus or minus 5%, which is definitely well within a reasonable level of accuracy for me and probably for you, unless you're Mark Cavendish. So I was very pleased. Oh, what's really neat about that, at least I think so, on the CompuTrainer and other power trainers, you have to calibrate the power sensor on every ride and sometimes multiple times during a ride. There is no calibration on the Be Cool, and yet the number of rides that I've done, I've still found that the accuracy of the power reading has been very steady, right at about plus or minus 5%. And as I said, for most people, that's well within acceptable limits. Now, as I said, on the Be Cool website, on the cloud component of using their training software system, there are hundreds of videos. The majority of the videos that I have found on there, and by the way, they're free. They're part of your subscription. The majority of the videos that I have found on there are from Spain, or at least Spain, France, Portugal area. And I understand from the folks at Be Cool that there are plans to add more videos in the future. I personally have found that there's more than enough on there to give me a great amount of variety. Would it be nice to have videos of Utah, Colorado, the Blue Ridge Mountains or California? Absolutely. But it sounds like that's coming in the future. But if that's not enough for you, remember, you can upload and put in your own GPS tracks. And here's the kicker. You can also, if you take and you use your Garmin or whatever GPS you've got on your bike and a video camera. So remember, we talked about the new Shimano video camera, the new Garmin Verb, or even just a GoPro. And if you match your video file with your GPS file, you can upload those onto the website, keep them private or make them public for other people to use. The editor for that is both PC and Mac compatible. And then not only will you be riding your GPS track, but you'll be seeing it on the video screen as well. That's very cool. I haven't had a chance to try that portion yet, but from what I've seen, It should be very simple to do and very self-explanatory. And that, to me, adds a great deal of value. Now, recently, and I think this is really smart, the folks at Be Cool added the GPS tracks for the Giro stages for this year, as well as for the Amgen Tour of California. So if you want to go out and ride the Queen stage of the Amgen Tour of California, be my guest. It's already on the Be Cool website. So I've talked a lot about the website and the features that are available there, and I know that a lot of you are wondering about the pricing for that. So again, when you buy the trainer, you get a 2-month free premium subscription. Now, at the end of the 2 months, you do not have to continue subscribing. You would still be able to have rankings on their website. You'd still have the complete history. You'd still be able to participate in groups and download your sessions from the website, use Google Earth. All those things are available to you for free. However, you can subscribe to the premium subscription for $15 per month, and that can be month to month. So maybe you only want to use it in the winter months. No problem. Just dip your toe in, come back out at the end of winter, you're done. Or you could do an annual subscription for $12 per month. What you get there is then you get the videos, you get the multiplayer sessions, you can challenge people, you can go against opponents. There's a lot of value to spending that $12 per month. And if you think about it, a lot of us are, up until now, have been using online subscriptions for various training tools that connect with our indoor trainers. And so if you're already doing that, this is money that you're already spending. And quite frankly, if you just wanted to do it for a few months, considering the fact that you have all those additional features, it seems to me that that $15 a month on the month-to-month plan is definitely worth it. If this was my trainer, I would be spending that money because I find the videos and especially the opponents incredibly motivating, and I'm certainly not getting bored on my trainer. And I found that I worked harder using the Be Cool because of the social and interactive and video components, much harder than I ever have on my CompuTrainer, no matter what software, what videos, or what training plans I was using. And to me, that speaks volumes about the value of the Be Cool trainer and its software system. Okay, so let me break it down. Bottom line, did I like it? Is this something that I would recommend? Well, based on that last statement, I think you know the answer. When I first received the Be Cool, I was ready not to like it. I think I was sort of predisposed against it, perhaps based on the price point, perhaps based on the unboxing. I'm not sure. I couldn't imagine that for this price point, I was going to get the kind of training value out of the system of a much more expensive Tax or CompuTrainer. After having used it for a couple of weeks and actually taken it through its paces, I would rather use the Be Cool system than my much more expensive CompuTrainer system. And I think that that gives you an idea of my thoughts. Again, let me give you some pros and cons and then give you some bottom lines. So my negatives on this, that Europlug adapter, but they say that that's going away. Not a big deal, but it would be nice to have an American plug. A little bit wobblier, if that's a word, than other trainers, higher end trainers that I've used, but easy to get used to. And frankly, I think it probably helped me with my bike control a little bit. Not currently Mac compatible, but that, I am told, is right around the corner. And so in the meantime, use it under boot camp, use it under virtualization if you're a Mac person. If you're a PC person, no big deal. The nice thing, though, is that the video editing and uploading is Mac compatible, so that's real nice. On the pros side, very easy to set up. It includes the software and all those videos. I mean, that's a huge value in and of itself. The fact that you can do single rider or multi-rider, that you can compete against virtual opponents, people who have run the same course before, or that you can actually compete against other people live, huge way to keep motivated. And for me, it definitely kept me working harder on the trainer. The price point, the initial investment, very, very attractive. It's literally just a minor upgrade from a wind trainer, a mag trainer, or a fluid trainer. So that's nice. And it's got all those additional features. And finally, that inexpensive subscription model and the ability to just dip in for a month or two and then come out and then return to it later. Also very, very huge. So my guess is that most people are going to look at this and they're going to say, oh, it's really cool. It's electronic. I can connect it to my computer. I'll get the additional metrics. I'll be able to use the videos. And you know what? That's just a minor upgrade from a standard standalone trainer. And it's going to help me fight the boredom of training indoors. That's great. But I think that they'll probably get hooked in some of the social aspects, the videos, the Google Earth, the ability to ride indoors, some of the rides that they would normally ride outdoors. And I think that that is what is going to drive the success ultimately of this product. And if you consider the retail price, it's very hard to go wrong. And what makes it even better, according to the Be Cool website, if you buy the trainer and within 30 days you don't like it, return it and they're going to give you your money back. Wrap all that together. Would I recommend it? Absolutely. Again, if I was choosing between a CompuTrainer and a Be Cool, I would choose the Be Cool because I really like it. And this is a trainer that I don't mind riding indoors. The other day, it was a nice day outside, but there was a race I wanted to do on the Be Cool. I'm not joking. And I rode the Be Cool instead of going outside. Once again, this is definitely a product I would recommend. Go ahead and check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's the Be Cool Trainer. That's B as in Bravo, K-O-O-L. I think it's an up-and-coming product, one we are going to be hearing a lot about in the future. Hey, one more thing before we go to our next product review, which is a very short review, and that's kind of why I'm breaking in here. I realize that that review of the trainer was really long, and I hope that you listened to the whole thing. I find that when we have a very technical product, one with a lot of aspects to it, that you, the listeners, will tell me that you want a really in-depth explanation and review of the product. So I hope that that's true in this case. I hope that you found value in that. I would love to get your feedback as to whether or not you like the length of that, whether it was too long and you felt that it should be trimmed. Feel free to let me know. The contact details are on the website and, of course, at the end of the show. But I'd be curious to know what your reactions are to a longer, more in-depth review like that, or whether you would prefer shorter, quicker reviews that, again, you can dip in and dip out and just sort of, you know, get the Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am, kind of review. So let me know your thoughts on that. I'd appreciate it. All right, one more review and about 180 degrees from the product that I just talked to you about. This one is probably just for the male listeners, but some of you ladies, you might find interest in this as perhaps Father's Day is coming or birthdays or what have you. I was recently sent several wallets to try. And you're thinking, hold on a second, this is the Fredcast. Why the heck is David going to talk about a wallet? Well, these wallets are kind of special. And I think that from my experience, I've found that there definitely is a cycling hook to them. The wallets are from a company called Ollit. They're a family company that's been manufacturing these products in San Diego since 1995. And their value proposition is that Ollits are the world's thinnest wallet. Now, if you're like me, or my dad, as you get older, your wallet seems to get thicker and thicker and thicker. I don't know what it is. We just collect stuff in our wallets as men, I think. And I know that ladies, you do the same thing in your wallets or your purses, and they just get thicker and thicker. And for me, I carry my wallet in my back pocket, and man, it can be painful, like on a long plane ride. And that kind of attracted me to the wallets that Ollit makes. But when I received them, I realized that the Ollit wallets not only are going to give me a thinner wallet, and I'll tell you how they do that in a moment, but that Ollit wallets are also really great for cycling. So think about it. On your last long ride, whether it was a century or double century, or maybe you were just going out with your cycling club and you were just going to get a cup of coffee. If you're like me, you either grabbed a Ziploc sandwich bag and put a couple of bucks in it and maybe a driver's license, insurance card, maybe a credit card or two, and threw it in your jersey pocket, right? Or, I used to do that for a very long time, or I was at a trade show and there's a company that makes a plastic sort of Ziploc wallet replacement, but it's really just a glorified Ziploc bag. Same thing, couple of bucks, couple of credit cards, driver's license, bam, goes into my back pocket. Not real attractive, doesn't look real great, and quite frankly, not really a great way to organize the items that you take with you on your ride. Well, the folks at Ollett sent me they sent me three of their wallets to try out. And my very first thought when I saw it, because of the materials that they use, because of the size of the product, that I just found my new cycling wallet. And quite frankly, I've been using my Ollett wallet when I go out on rides all the time because it is so thin, so compact, and so easy just to slip into my jersey pocket. And when I'm done riding, I can just slip it in the back pocket of my jeans or my suit pants or whatever, and I'm out on the way and I don't have to change wallets. I'm not even thinking about the fact that this is a wallet for cycling and that's a wallet for not cycling, if you will. Now, Ollett wallets are made out of a material called Soft Tech Nylon. It's very thin. It's sort of a ripstop material. And using their words from their website, because it's really true, it's essentially weightless. If you just take the wallet out of the box and you don't put anything into it, it's as light as a feather, maybe as light as a paperclip or two. And yet, you can replace your existing huge bulging wallet with one of these very thin Ollett wallets. Now, they also make leather wallets, and they make those out of Napa cowhide, but I really like the Soft Tech Nylon because it is so lightweight, and again, put it in my jersey pocket, no matter how hot it is, how much I sweat, I take it out, and that nylon dries extremely quickly, and I really like that feature. Now, for a long time, when I was choosing a wallet, I always looked for ones that had a lot of pockets, you know, right? You could put your Visa here, your MasterCard here. You can put your American Express here in each of the individual pockets. Well, what Ollett realized is not only are fewer pockets better, because that's just more material that's bulking up the size of the wallet when everything's in it, but it's also important how they distribute those pockets. Have you ever had a time when you've had a credit card in a front pocket and then behind it another credit card, and before you know it, the one in front starting to split right along where it overlaps with that other card? And so pocket distribution is very important. So they think about that when they design and put the wallets together. Now, the two men's wallets that they sent me, one is called the Sport Wallet, the other is the ID Wallet. The Sport Wallet, again, made out of that ripstop nylon that I told you about. It holds up to 10 cards and has room for cash as well. The ID Wallet, again, the ripstop nylon, has room for 12 cards. It's got a divided pocket for cash and for receipts. And of course, there's a place for you to put your ID. So it's really easy to see that there. Plus, they also sent me a ladies' wallet as well. This is the woman's sport wallet. It's made out of the leather that I was telling you about earlier. It holds up to 10 cards. It fits in a small clutch. They say that it's perfect for a girl's night out. It's a great little size. It's got little grippers to keep your cards in place inside the wallet, plenty of room for your cash. It's a really nice looking design. And all of these, the point of really the value proposition for the whole company is their slogan, End Wallet Butt. And if you know what that means, you know what that means, and you will be interested in this. But the ability to also take a much thinner wallet with me when I go out on my rides or for a hike, or for instance, when I go traveling, that's a huge benefit, not having to switch back and forth between cycling and my everyday use. Now, in addition to the everyday wallets, like the ones I've been telling you about, Ollett also makes RFID security wallets. Now, a lot of our identification materials and our credit cards today, especially when here in the States we switch to chip and PIN credit cards, a lot of those cards have RFID, radio frequency identification chips in them. And there is some fear that somebody walking by might be able to skim the data off those RFID chips, or indeed off of a newer style passport. So Ollet also makes RFID security wallets for cards, for your ID, and yes, they even make them large enough to hold your passport and cards as well. So they've got a large number of styles for men and women available in different materials, different colors. They've got one for you. Stop taking that Ziploc bag on your rides. Stop switching between your everyday wallet and your so-called cycling wallet. Get yourself an Ollet. I really like it. It's what I take on my rides. It's what I'm taking with me on my vacation. Go ahead and check them out. I've got links in the show notes to the Ollet Wallets website, as well as to a search I did for you on Amazon. Go ahead and check it out. I think that you will like getting rid of your wallet butt. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our wonderful sponsors, of course, Jensen USA, where you always get a great selection of products at amazing prices with unparalleled customer service. But don't forget the special deal right now. Buy one of a select group of frames or complete bikes and get a $250 gift card to Jensen USA. That's jensenusa.com/thefredcast. And also, of course, Fezzari at fezzari.com. That's F-E-Z-Z-A-R-I.com, where you get mountain and road bikes, custom, quality, direct, straight from fezzari.com. And finally, lynda.com at lynda.com/fredcast. Go to that link. Get your free 7-day trial just for Fredcast listeners of their premium service. Learn everything you can in 7 days. You won't be able to learn it all. And then you will want to subscribe to lynda.com. Check them out again. lynda.com, lynda.com/Fredcast. To keep in touch with everything we do here at the Fredcast, go to our website. That's www.thefredcast.com. Or like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheFredcast, or follow us on Twitter, Twitter.com/FredCast. Want to send some feedback? Have a question? Send an email, TheFredcast@gmail.com. Once again, the email is TheFredcast@gmail.com, or send us a voicemail. Use our Fredcast listener hotline at area code 661-513-FRED. That's 661-513-3733, or just point to our website and click the link on the right-hand side of the page to use your computer's microphone to send a voicemail via SpeakPipe. Whew, and after all of that, there's really only one thing left to do, and that is to share with you this week's PodSafe cycling music, which was chosen specifically for the Fredcast by IndoorCyclingMusic.com, the home of the free weekly featured track and premium members content of weekly 30 and 60 minute cardio mixes and monthly 90 minute cardio mixes to get the world moving. More information is available at www.indoorcyclingmusic.com. This week's artist is King Never, and the track is Push and Pull. As always, thank you so much for listening to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Thank you for telling your friends and cycling buddies. Thanks for staying subscribed. And thanks for patronizing our wonderful sponsors. It is all very, very much appreciated. I will be back again soon with another episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. But between this show and the next, enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.
mistaken, bending in the breeze, adorned and isolated. And now I've got you doubting, calibrated, so lubricating, desolating. I'm oscillating. Somebody cries, it's a push and pull game. So we push and pull, caught up in a crush of heads. Somebody cries, move and combo. So we're built to song, a fatalistic melody. Maybe you're mistaken, fading in the fray, festooned and disconnected. And now you've got me cornered, inflated, so quarantined and decimated. You're